Today's Bible reading comes from Galatians chapter 2, starting at verse 11. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by the hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it, then, that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we, too, have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing."
Let's pray before we look at God's Word. Father, thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you for this letter written by Paul, inspired by your Spirit, that speaks to us. We ask, Lord, as we come before you humbly, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would renew our minds, open our eyes to see your word, to understand it, and by your Spirit, Lord, help us to live in line with the truth of the gospel. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you start school or uni, or as you enter the workforce, you will meet people who are different from you. People from different cultures, different backgrounds, different accents, food choices, the food that they like to enjoy, the clothes that they wear, hairstyles, how they spend their pastime. People who are different from you. And as we read Galatians, have that in mind, differences. As we read Galatians, we must remember that Jews and Gentiles were very different. Jews and Gentiles were very different, like chalk and cheese. Jews, they were God's chosen people. Gentiles, the Jews saw them as unclean. Jews, the Israel of God, they were people whom God had saved. God raised Moses to rescue them out of slavery in Egypt. God gave the Jews laws at Mount Sinai. The Gentiles, they didn't have the law. They were law breakers. The Jews were law keepers. Jews had festivals and holy days. Days that God had given them these festivals to teach them about God, that God is holy. And as his people, they were meant to be holy as well. Gentiles didn't celebrate these festivals. They didn't know God. They were strangers. They were foreigners. They were outsiders. The Jews were in. They were insiders. So as we read Galatians, we need to bear that in mind. The differences between Jews and Gentiles. And these differences were ingrained in the Jewish culture for more than 1,000 years. Is it easy for you to change in your lifetime? Imagine the differences between Jews and Gentiles for more than 1,000 years. So for Jewish Christians, it was very difficult for them to comprehend how Gentiles could ever be part of God's family, part of God's people. It's a bit like saying Pimble's Ladies College will accept boys in 2016. Boys? Pimble's Ladies College? No way. So that's how it was for the Jews. Gentiles? Part of God's kingdom? Impossible. In Acts 9, Peter has a vision. He sees a sheet coming down from heaven and all kinds of reptiles, birds, unclean animals, and he hears a voice saying, "Peter, rise, kill, eat." Peter says, "No way. I have never eaten anything unclean. I have never eaten anything common." The voice comes a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Peter is struggling. It happened a third time. The voice from heaven. Peter's not sure. What's this strange dream? Maybe I haven't eaten a lot of food. What's happening? He's having all these hallucinations. But then there's a knock on the door. And men from Cornelius have come to Peter's house. The Spirit says, "Go with them." So the next day, Peter goes with them. He goes to Cornelius' home and there's a group of people there waiting. And he says to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for Jews to associate with Gentiles." Gentiles is anyone who's non-Jew. So he says that to Cornelius, "It is against our law for Jews to associate with Gentiles, for Jews to even visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean whom God has called clean." So Peter says, "So I came without any objections." Peter preaches to this Gentile group. The Holy Spirit falls upon them. And Peter realizes that God does not show favoritism. That God welcomes even Gentiles into his family. So Peter's had this experience, and we need to bear that in mind when we come to the book of Galatians. So Peter knows this. He leaves the headquarters in Jerusalem, and he comes to Antioch. Antioch is the first place where followers of Jesus are called Christians, the Christ ones. And the Antioch church is full of Gentiles. So Peter, he's had this vision and he's sitting together with them and he's having table fellowship. He's saying that you and me, we get along. We're all part of God's family. And he's eating with Gentiles. He's a Jew. He's eating with Gentiles. They're all part of God's family. But then he stops eating. He stops eating because in verse 11, it says that Cephas, Peter, had come to Antioch, and I opposed him to his face. So follow in your Bible the verses. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain man came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles. What happened? What made Peter stop eating, stop having fellowship with the Gentiles? Verse 12. Because he was afraid of what people thought. Verse 12, he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The circumcision group were the hardcore Jews. For them, for Gentiles to become God's family, they have to get circumcised. They have to take on the Jewish cultural practices. They had to come under the Jewish laws. If they do that, then we can sit together, we can have a meal together. If they don't do that, they consider them second-class citizens. They still consider them outsiders. So it's like, yes, you can come to church, but you sit in the middle hall. Don't mix with us. We are God's people. Gentile, sit in the middle hall. So that's what these circumcision people, that's how they were treating the Gentiles. By their conduct, Peter and the other Jewish Christians were saying to the Gentile believers that faith in Jesus is not enough to be part of God's family. To be part of God's family, you have to become like us. You have to take on our culture, our custom, our Jewish laws. Then we will accept you as God's family. If you don't take this on, you are second class. You are an outsider. Friends, brothers and sisters, listen up. Listen carefully. There are many issues that Christians can disagree about. There are many things we can disagree about. But this is a gospel issue. This is something that Peter was opposed by Paul to his face publicly. This is important. This is serious. So verse 14. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, Cephas, in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? So the issue was not that Peter was being unfriendly or unloving. The issue was a gospel issue. He was being a hypocrite. He knew God had taught him by that vision that God accepts Gentiles into his family. But here, Peter was treating the Gentiles as outsiders. He was giving the impression by his conduct that they were not good enough to be in God's family. By his actions. His actions was inconsistent with the gospel. So what is the truth of the gospel that we need to walk in line? So the gospel is like a line, and we need to check, are we walking, are we living consistent with this line? So what is it? We need constant realignment. So what do we realign ourselves back to the gospel, the truth of the gospel? And he gives us the truth of the gospel in verse 15. We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles. You see how they couch it, isn't it? We're not like them, sinful Gentiles. That's what they thought of the Gentiles. Outsiders, lawbreakers, sinful Gentiles. We who are Jews by birth, not sinful Gentiles. We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Peter knew it from his vision. Whether a person is Jew or Gentile or for whatever or wherever their background is, whoever trusts in Jesus, they are part of God's family. It's as simple as that. It is just by faith in Jesus Christ. So by him treating the Gentiles as if God had not accepted them, he was not walking consistent with the gospel message. He was saying, I'll sit over here with the Jewish believers. You Gentiles, you sit over there. This week I was at SMBC preaching conference, and it was nice being back at college. I like the banter up on stage. David Cook was interviewed by Stuart Colton, the principal. It was really nice. Kian and I, we drove in together. And as we were driving, Kian was telling me about the M4. And, So he told about this time when a person was driving on the M4 and was injured by a head-on collision. So this person was injured, but the lady in the other car actually died. It was fatal for her. And he said that before she had this accident, people had told her that her wheels were out of alignment. But I don't know, she didn't do anything about it. And so there was this head-on collision. The car moved off course and it proved fatal. Paul doesn't mince his words. He confronts Peter because alignment is important. And this was an important issue. The truth of the gospel was at stake. So he confronts Peter. Peter knew of freedom. Do you know that you are free? Do you know of the freedom that you have in Christ? As Christians, we are free. We are very, very free. What is the freedom? Peter knew that he had freedom in Christ. The freedom to follow and observe Jewish laws. The freedom not to follow and not to observe these Jewish laws. Peter knew that he had the freedom to get circumcised. Peter knew that he had the freedom not to get circumcised. Peter knew he had the freedom to join the Gentiles and eat pork. He knew that he had the freedom to not eat pork. He was free. But in this situation, by him separating himself from this Gentile Christian, he was saying, not by his words, but by his actions, by his conduct, that they were not good enough, that they were second class, that they were unclean, by his actions, by his conduct. Now, if you follow Jewish practices, then I will accept you. Then you can sit with us. He was adding to the gospel additional requirements. I'm thankful that you all have accepted me as your pastor. That is a great example of the truth of the gospel. It overcomes ethnic differences. Well done, Living Stones. It's saying that if God has welcomed Pastor John into God's family, then I will welcome Pastor John into, you will welcome Pastor John into our family. What a family? Yeah, you get it? Okay. I remember when Jean and I were going to get married. I mean, you may not notice, Jean is actually Indian and I'm Sri Lankan. And so we met for our official visit in my parents' home. And my mom said this. My mom said, y'all are Indian, we are Sri Lankan, we have different cultural practices, but we are Christians first. We are Christians first. See, my mom was speaking in line with the truth of the gospel. If God has accepted us into his family, then we are to accept one another without adding additional requirements before we accept other people. So the truth of the gospel is that we are justified by faith in Christ alone. That means just by believing, by putting our trust in Christ, we are part of God's family. And if God treats a person as part of his family, then we need to treat that person as part of God's family as well. So the question we ask ourselves this morning is this. Do you treat people as part of God's family, or do you add additional requirements before treating them as part of God's family? I think for us, it can be a bit kind of subtle, unconscious, kind of different. Maybe it can be that, oh, that guy, he's not so committed. He kind of just shows up. And so then you kind of, I'm not going to give of myself because if he's more serious, if he's a better Christian, then I'll treat him well. So it can take different forms. We add these additional requirements in our head of who is worthy of our acceptance, of our time, of our love. Oh, if that girl, yeah, if she makes more of an effort, then I'll love her as my sister in Christ. Or, if that high schooler gets baptized, then I'll treat him as a Christian. Do we add additional requirements? But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to treat people who are very different well. Okay, let me confess my sin before you. Y'all are just waiting to hear, aren't they? Talk to me later. Okay. I grew up in Malaysia, and Malaysia is very diverse culturally. And even in my ministry experience, I've always been involved with international student ministry. Students from Colombia, South America, Nepal, South Korea, China. Like, so diverse. And that's always been my experience. And when I see groups of people coming together, irrespective of their background, I think that's a wonderful visual image of the gospel that breaks down cultural barriers. So in my mind, it's like, this is what the gospel does. If we get the gospel, it breaks down these barriers. So secretly in my heart, my hope is that this congregation will be more diverse. But I've been here for 4.5 years, and I realized that, Lord, what's happening? It's not happening. So then there's a proverb that says, hope deferred makes a heart grow sick. So I then went through a phase of broken dreams. And then I realized that I have to love the people in front of me. Not the ideal church in my head, but the real people in front of me. And friends, that's the challenge you have. You look around at the people around you, broken, different, maybe not naturally like the people you would like to like. Maybe you have different interests, maybe you have different passions, and they are different from you. We have to love the people in front of us, not the ideal in your head. The people in front of us, we have to treat them as family because God has accepted them as family. So that's the challenge of this passage, to live in line with the truth of the gospel. We must not force people to become like us before we treat them as God's family. There are other ways that maybe we put additional requirements. We might say that if they think theologically like me, or if they read the same Bible I read, then they're legit and I'll treat them well. But if they go to a different church, a different denomination, or they're charismatic, or they're reading a Good News Bible or whatever, then, those guys, what do they know? We don't treat them as how God views them. And that is to walk inconsistent with the truth of the gospel. God has accepted you with all your sin, all your flaws, all your wrong thinking that you even don't know it's wrong. And so, if God has accepted me like that, then I must accept another person equally like that. God treats us better than we deserve. So we need to treat other people better than they deserve. Because that is how God treats us. That's grace. We have received grace. We are free in Christ. So then we show grace to other people. So let's look at the core truth of the gospel. verses 15 and 16, it says this: "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentiles, sinful Gentiles, we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law." Look at how many times it's repeated. It's repeated. Not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. He says it again. "So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ Jesus, not by works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." Look at the repetition on and on and on. Justification is the language of the law court, where God declares you right in His eyes. You are righteous in God's eyes. It is a verdict that God says once and for all. We become right in God's eyes. How? When we put our faith in Jesus, when we trust in Jesus. Justification doesn't come by keeping rules. It doesn't come by obeying laws. By asking the Gentiles to get circumcised and observe the law is to seek justification by law keeping, by rule keeping. It's saying that Jesus' death, not enough, insufficient. I've got a lot to speak on, but I think I should end the sermon here. So let me just end it. Okay. Just go to verse 21. "If righteousness, being right with God, was by keeping the law," what does it say? "Jesus Christ died for nothing." This is serious. This is Jesus Christ, not just some bloke down the street, your mate, you know. Jesus Christ is God the Son. If we say that keep the laws and you're right with God, we are saying Christ, the Son of God's death is meaningless, a waste of time, pointless. How can you say that? We do not honor Christ's sacrifice on the cross. That is precious to God. It's God's Son, the Son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased. So let me end with this story. In a few years, the Northwest Rail Link will be completed. If you live in Castle Hill, you will be able to catch a train. You will be able to catch a train to the city. No more driving, no more traffic on Castle Hill Road and Pennon Hills Road, the notorious Pennon Hills Road. But what if the train station is built and you still drive? If you still wake up early in the morning while it is still dark, sounds like a Bible verse, okay? And you make the commute to work, then for you, Castle Hill train station is for nothing. Pointless. A waste of the taxpayer money. That's what Paul is saying in verse 21. If keeping laws is the way we get right with God, Jesus Christ's death is for nothing. It is a waste. It is pointless. Did you all get this sheet about the difference between religion and the gospel? So read it at home for your own reading. And let me just end with this. Use the train. Folks, use the train. And how does it work? Just how does it work? I've got to end with how does it work. Sorry. Okay. Verse 20 and 21. How does it work? It works because when we believe in Christ, we are joined to Christ. We are united with Christ. That's what Paul is saying in verse 20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So when God looks at us, He sees Christ. He sees Christ's perfect life, perfect obedience, and He counts that as your perfect life and your perfect obedience. What a gift! What a gift! Christ's perfect life is my perfect life. I am justified. I'm right in God's eyes. I'm free in Christ. I better end here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this good news that though we are so sinful, flawed in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, Lord, you knew it all along and you sent your Son Jesus. Father, we just want to honor Christ's sacrifice. We thank you for Jesus who was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. We thank you, Lord, that He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who takes away our sin. We thank you, Lord, that in Jesus we stand holy and blameless in your sight. Father, thank you for this gift, Lord. It is precious. We pray throughout this week, Lord, that we will boast in the cross of Jesus. Father, we pray, Lord, that we will rest in your unchanging grace. Father, we thank you, Lord, that Christ is our righteousness. We thank you that, He is the one in whom we stand complete. Father, help us, Lord, to walk in faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself up for us. Father, we also pray asking for forgiveness for the times that we have treated other people as outsiders, when we have put in additional requirements before we treat them as part of your family. For this, we ask your forgiveness, Lord. Please change our minds. Change our hearts and help us, Lord, to love the people in front of us. Help us to accept them because you accept us by faith in Christ. So we pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.